What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast. What is up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and the drunk scale rating, I'm going to go with a 1 right now. I had a whole vodka and cran pineapple with my homemade Saints cup.
It's amazing how many different fruity beverages you can put in your vodka.
That's my new thing. Each week, you never know which one I'm going to get. Well, you go to Ocean Spray section in the grocery store, and it's just nonstop flavors. So it just makes for, you know, diluting the vodka a little bit.
Hopped into Flavortown.
Anyway, I'm a 1 because we had a whole drink already talking pre-show with Dave Romero, which you'll get to meet him in a minute, from the BS and Beer Saints podcast. But I will tell you that the Saints walked into Chicago without their Hall of Fame quarterback, their phenom running back, their top-tier free agent pickup tight end, and completely manhandled one of the top 3 defenses in the league. Now, whether you chalk this one up to coaching or next man up mentality or just a deep roster team chemistry or just an overrated Bears team, the bottom line is that this team has that special something that is required to win it all. And I haven't even started on the defense yet. but I'm sure these other two guys will after we get through introductions. So keep your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will also go with a 1, continuing my tradition of my wind down Mondays. I am currently in the new digs, set up this weekend. Still no cable, no internet.
Wait, but you built a new house?
Yeah, I didn't tell you.
No, I don't remember hearing about that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I didn't build it personally.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Well, no. You think you'd mentioned something over the last several months that you were going to be moving into a new house?
I might have mentioned it once or twice.
All right.
But so yeah. So I'm still dealing with the move in. A lot of boxes and nothing's where it's supposed to be, and
But this weekend, huh? Were you able to watch any of the games this weekend? Or
no, it was all radio. Well, I worked. Okay. I volunteered at the Andouille Festival for the first half, and then drove home in the second half, and then we had a radio, but it was all Deuce and Zach Street this week.
Okay.
So a lot of the, I saw a few highlights after the fact, like that Teddy moving this way and tossing it to Michael Thomas, like that was fucking incredible. But other than that, it was just radio calls. So this was the first time that I didn't see a second of the game in a long time.
All right. And then with us, we now have from the BS and Beer podcast, Mr. Dave Romero, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Wait a minute. Who am I talking to? My agent told me I was going to be on Mike and Mike in the morning. I'm still going to be able to push my new book, right?
Jeff and Jason in the evening.
No, they're okay. Just good. Just good. I didn't know that we were supposed to be drinking. So if you warned me a little bit earlier.
You have listened to the show, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. But, but here's the thing. I've been listening to you guys for about 3 years. I'm guesstimating, maybe 4 years. I don't know if I've ever heard of you guys being over a 1. So some need to pick up the pace.
No, you should listen to the crossover show from the beginning of the season that we did with the UK Saints podcast. Jason and he was about an 11-teen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was probably a 9-teen. But no, we've tempered it down. We've been doing this since 2010.
Yeah,
10,
that sounds
right.
Back in
10.
You remember Hot Shots?
It's the final orders. We strike tomorrow at 0600.
Excellent. Wake me up at 0530.
So anyway, yeah, I've noticed, yeah, we're not as drunk when we do the show. We're old men now, so.
Getting older.
Yeah.
But I can say the bye week is coming up. That is a prime time for shenanigans.
Yeah, tomfoolery too. Let's not forget the tomfoolery.
That's right. So I'm going to say hi to Chris Farmer, who's watching live, Scott Greenbaum, Michael Wheelahan. That's Wheels. He says, holy shit, I caught y'all live. What's up, fellas? Yeah, we know it's Wheels. He said it's Wheels. I know. I sold him the lot. Chris Farmer sold you the lot?
Yes.
All right.
Well, he helped us. He helped us procure the lot.
Okay.
And he helped us sell our house.
So, okay. So
fucking
So, Chris, if you want to sponsor, if you want to sponsor the show, I mean, you know, as a, I guess, a real estate agent, there we do have an opening, as long as you're okay with the cursing. All right, Christian Mino, who dat from Augusta, Georgia, Augusta Junior, I almost said. And Aaron King says, who dat?
Hey, more from Augusta, Georgia. If you can get me on the Masters, talk to me.
Oh, all right. All right. So that's enough with who's watching, what's going on right now. Let's get into game recap. Dave, you guys on your show do a bit of a good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm gonna take a little bit of that, if I could. And I will give you what I want your answer to be. And so for the good, the bad, and the ugly, the answer is the special teams.
Yes!
For all of the above, right?
Yes! I mean, okay, thank you. I appreciate the participation in the show. Okay, going into the show, at least from my perspective, it was and okay, there are so many elements to this. Are the Saints this good? Bears, were they as good as we thought? They did get pummeled by the Raiders 2 weeks ago, or they had the bye week. Now all of a sudden the Raiders didn't look very impressive this past weekend, so I'm watching all these things and trying to figure out exactly what the Bears are. But I go into the game and I think this has to be a game where you play well on defense and special teams, and you need to make up for some stuff. We're losing offensive skill positions. We're missing things. Now, all of a sudden, special teams immediately comes into play, makes a big play. But they cost us just as many points the other way. So, all in all, you really have to break down this game, and the offense eventually played well. I think they just kind of used a sledgehammer approach on offense and wore the Bears down. I mean, the special teams, again, I know that's the direction you're trying to go in. They did good things. They did bad things that hurt the team. But yet we still – the score was nowhere near as indicative of the play on the field.
No, you're right. Right. And
go ahead. It felt like we felt like we should have won like 45-3. I mean,
right.
The combination of the onside recoveries at the end just to allow their garbage time points was ridiculous. But then you had the weird – the terrible holding calls, like that wiped out another punt return for us. You also had a time where Harris, from what I can recall on the radio, just let the ball go. He should have caught. I mean, Harris is definitely fucking up and down roller coaster ride with him.
But I mean, like, Harris wasn't the problem this time around. I mean, what was it? Let me check my.
We had some missed
kicks.
It
was Will Lutz, you know. Right. It was Will Lutz.
Nuts, Lutz.
Big, right.
Now here's the question: is it the Chicago Kickers, or maybe it's just Chicago in general? You know, whoever
it is, a windy city.
No, it is a shitty field.
Heard that.
Uh-huh. All right. By the way, you want to ask who the Bears are? Will says it's garbage. That's what they are. What it is you're right though. They are a good defensive team, which is why the Saints' offense hanging 35 points on them is impressive. When you're missing who you're missing, I mean, it'd be good enough just to hang them when you have Drew Brees and Kamara and Cook in the lineup, but to do it with backups, come on.
Well, okay, so how did you guys feel about the contract that Michael Thomas got? At the time, now be honest. Let's not talk about how you feel now.
No. At the time, it was completely worth it because I knew he's a top five. He's always consistent. He's never gonna have a game where he gets two catches for 10 yards Odell Beckham has had, or Julio, or somebody else like that. Like Michael Thomas will always get you. Michael Thomas has a very high floor. You know, and to me, when you're paying a guy that much. You know, you can't have off weeks from him. And there's never an off week, especially when they know he is our only big-time receiving threat.
That was my concern. I didn't mind paying him, but what I don't like is you pay a guy and you worry that now that he's got paid, is he going to pull a Junior Gallette or something? So to see him step up the way he's stepping up, the consummate professional that he is, hey, come on now.
He's the only true receiving threat we had on the field without a true receiving threat running back. And they still could not stop him.
Right.
So I got to be honest. I was a little reluctant. That contract for a guy that at the time, and still, I can make the argument, he is not, I don't want to say not complete, but he is not like he doesn't have the whole seven or the whole five skills.
He doesn't run a 4.4. I mean, that's it.
He does, and he always gets open, though.
He always gets open.
And
he's a good route runner. He's the guy, and yet, how the fuck is Michael Thomas so open?
everyone.
When they, when you, when the other team, like, there's literally no one else to cover.
This week,
no one else to cover. What do you get? 9 catches?
It's incredible. Ted Ginn can't catch anything. You got we got a little bit of playoff Josh Hill, you know, when he had his 3 catches for twelve yards. There's no other true threat. No one that anyone who's being reasonable, maybe some unreasonable Saints fans might say.
I think he's probably a good player.
This guy is somebody, but for the most part, nobody else on the field that was a threat, and they still could not stop him. And the point that I was really trying to make is he's worth every penny.
Yeah.
He is a true top flight receiver, even though he may not have the element of deep speed that some of the other guys have. It doesn't matter because he cannot be stopped. He's an automatic first down. And those who thought that maybe he was a product of Drew Brees, it's obviously been proven wrong.
You know, Dave, how long have you been a Saints fan? Since when?
I mean, I'm 22 now, and so about 30 years.
Okay. You ever heard of Eric Martin?
Yeah, I'm kidding, man. I was back in Dalton Hill.
I was trying to be nice because you look bad for 22. But
he lived a hard life, man.
Right.
If I'd have known I was on TV, I'd have got makeup involved.
And that's a note to all of you watching. If you ever want to be on the Dome Patrol podcast, we'll treat you like shit too. So no. kind of like an Eric Martin. He was not a speed guy, what by all means, but the guy could catch. He caught everything thrown at him. And that's kind of, I mean, and I know it's not a comparison, but when you talk about the speed compared to the catchability, that's who it reminds me of as far as Saints.
I mean, he's a better Colston. Like Colston, you know, Colston had the big body, didn't have the speed, but yet he was so fucking dependable. Michael Thomas is a better version of that.
Yeah.
And I think this whole stretch with Teddy, in addition to proving Michael Thomas isn't a product of Drew Brees, like, look what fucking Sean Payton has done these 5 weeks. You could say, oh, well, Sean Payton's a good coach, but man, he's had Drew Brees.
Absolutely. I mean, all right, real quick, check in with the live stream real quick. We got Aaron King, Heart Attack Harris, talking about that. Every time he feels, I grab my chest. And then he talked about that 11-yard run. That was pretty awesome. Blaine, what's up, Blaine? Blaine's watching.
Hey, Mike.
Can't guard Mike. Wheels, I read a Cubs blog that also covers the Bears, and they had 3 consecutive posts about how everything is terrible.
They're not wrong. When you think about the fact that they traded up to get fucking Trubisky, and while Mahomes and Watson were sitting right there, I mean.
Did you see the graphic? It showed Trubisky number 2, if I'm not wrong here, and then 10 and 11, 2 much better players than Watson and Mahomes at 10 and 11.
Yeah.
You got that. That's got to kill you if you're a Bears fan.
Former Saints director of scouting, Ryan Pace, when we fired him, hey, we had a lot of success in the draft.
Addition by subtraction.
And look, I don't really have a lot against the Bears, the franchise, or the players, but the
fans. You were at that game.
Yes.
You were at the game.
I was yes, I know.
The playoff game.
My issue isn't with the players or the organization. You play football, you do. I mean, whatever. It's the fans I don't like. And so what I'm enjoying is the fans having to sit through this. I love it. 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 It's like blueberry from the state. That's for you, Blaine. That's for you. All right. Oh, let's get back into game recap. O-line performance. Dude, Ryan Ramczyk held Khalil Mack to 8 tackles.
Who?
I'm going to read Mack's stats. 8 tackles. I'm done.
That's it.
He did better than J.J. Watt.
So Khalil Mack is better than J.J. Watt, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
I mean, like, look at the – and even last night in the Dallas-Philly game, one of the first plays of the game, the defensive end for Dallas, was Lawrence, like, he came in, sacked, strip fumble. I mean, he did – everybody does nothing against Ramczyk. It's incredible, absolutely incredible what Ramczyk has done.
Could he be – is it too early? And yes, it is. To say he's the greatest offensive lineman ever?
Ever of all time?
Of ever. Right.
Oh, all time. Okay.
Right.
So then, no, I don't feel bad about saying it on the Saints, right? He's better than Willie Rofe.
Okay. Now, he plays the right side, so because of that, I don't really think of him in terms of left tackle.
Okay, all right.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm simply saying that I just don't think of it that way.
Not a comparison.
But I here's the other thing. He's great. Absolutely, no doubt. But I'm going to need a couple more years of this before I start putting him in that Willie Rofe category.
Yeah.
Now, I wasn't born when Willie Rofe played, but I heard he was pretty good.
The Hazlitt years were not kind to you at all.
even Pete didn't embarrass himself this week. Not, you know, so.
Right. I think the announcers even said something positive about Pete at some point. They made a comment.
It was Pete's kind of game. And then and I always get this confused with Hicks, Knicks, Kicks, whatever the guy's name that used to play for the Saints, not being there.
You know where I came from? Kicks is from? Where did he play?
In Canada.
Fuck Canada.
Hey, right, fuck you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You know, the one time you get to play Akeem Hicks in every 4 years, you got to throw it in there. Davis Douglas says, Ram Ram Man is playing all pro quality. Sansbury says, dude, better be a Pro Bowl selection. I mean, not that we care about the Pro Bowl, but yeah.
But I will say, thank God that the Saints can just, with the first round guys, I mean, look, he was the end of the first round. Thank God they can just pick up his 5th-year option and be like, okay, we don't have to pay it yet. Because he's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get a truckload of money, and then going into a whole other subject that I won't get into is who are we not going to pay? I mean, there are so many extremely good players who are due for contracts. Who's going to be? Matter of fact, we saw the kid, Chauncey Gardner.
Yep.
I think we're looking at our next safety replacement.
That's the tweet. Yeah, that's the tweet we got, was about Bell and Chauncey Gardner now.
I mean, and it's crazy, but like Bell had his fourth forced fumble already this year.
No, he's
Bell
playing amazing.
He's playing his
It's almost off. As though he knows it's a contract year. That's right. Yeah,
I like that.
If I had a beard, I would do the same thing.
All right, let me ask you both – and Dave, we'll start with you. Rate Teddy's performance of this game, not the whole.
Okay.
Yesterday's game.
Okay. What is our scale? I thought y'all had a thing. I mean, I don't want to mess up your thing.
I mean, Teddy. Do you think Teddy played great?
Okay.
Good.
Here's the thing. Fair. Put it in perspective. There are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and when people say Teddy Bridgewater could be a starter, that really doesn't mean anything, because when you get to the bottom 10 or 12 guys in the league, they're all looking to be replaced. So to say you're a starting level quarterback, I believe Teddy Bridgewater has played himself into a position of a guy that a team feels they could build around, not necessarily franchise. When I think of franchise, Drew Brees, you know, Manning, all those guys. I think he is a guy that a team could look at, including the Saints. Not that I'm saying I want this. I'm saying, man, we could build a winning team around this guy. He played that well and has played that well so far. You got to consider he hasn't played a lot of football in the past, recent history. And so
even before that,
give him a little bit of the first 2 or 3 games where he's settling in. The coaches are kind of easing his foot in the water a little bit. So I would say that the way Teddy played yesterday, he's still – I always have to keep perspective that I'm comparing him to the arguably one of the best 2 or 3 quarterbacks he's ever played the game. His accuracy is just a little bit at times. But the guy is a quality NFL quarterback, and I think that he can get paid by somebody and be a guy that won't be a bridge, no pun intended, quarterback. He will be a guy that someone says, I think we can build a team around him.
Look at the team we just played, the Bears. I think their fans would kill for Bridgewater over Trubisky right now.
Absolutely,
that's the kind of team that he could go in.
Yep. Run he's the better than Mitch Trubisky.
Do the work,
so he could start Absolutely. In the NFL.
But the point he's making is that yes, I believe right now he's definitely a better quarterback. A team built like the Bears could use Teddy Bridgewater would fit perfectly. You're trying to run the ball, play great defense. That's the type of team. The type of team the Saints are being right now.
Okay. And Scott Greenbaum gave him a C-. Chris Sansbury gave him a B+.
Teddy plays what he doesn't turn the ball over, but he does take some bad he takes some bad sacks.
This is something that I thought about yesterday too, because I agree. Like yesterday in the first quarter and a half, I started counting how many plays he holds the ball too long or how many times he throws it too high. It was going to be a drinking game, but I got concerned for my liver.
Your health?
Yeah. But, you know, by the second half, I stopped counting because it wasn't happening anymore. So he addressed it and fixed it during the game, and that's when they ended up getting the drives stuck together. He got his 4 touchdowns.
Right.
Okay. So I guess, and the other thing I started thinking about, when he holds the ball too long, we get worked up over it. But let me look at the silver lining. If he's holding the ball too long, it means the offensive line is playing really well. I mean, think about how long that mother fella holds the ball, because I'm trying to be a kinder, gentler, kid-friendly show.
I like that. That
I've never, you're like one of those broadcasts on TNC. Hey, mother fella.
Yeah. I'm tired of these mother fella snakes.
These
mother fella.
These gosh darn mother fellas all the time.
I even changed plane to train. How about that? All right. So maybe I'm a two. All right. So Davis Douglas, no, an O lineman touched with a foot ruled fumble recovery. Mike, what?
That had to be the second onside kick he's talking about.
Okay.
But he's doing it poetically.
Right. It's a haiku he did. All right, no. I just got a text from my wife. Stop yelling. All right, sorry. And then Davis Douglas, is that Damon making all that sound in the back? Is Dave, you're not washing dishes, are you? All right, so you like Teddy.
I respect
Teddy
the podcast.
So
you respect
right.
the sanctity
right.
of the podcast.
That's right. So, all right, so we all think Teddy played was this his best game, or was the Tampa game
his
best game?
He played a solid, steady game.
All right.
You know?
He earned the Teddy chance that you heard in Soldier Field at the end of the game. He earned them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And right. And again, you know, if it wasn't for some of the – I mean, another game of just shitty officiating, you know? The first turnover, they blew it dead. Now, maybe he was – you know, I guess at the end of the day he was touched, but – No, I didn't get to see it, so I didn't get to see the replays.
Jason, is this the point where I get to dog cuss you like Damon?
Please do.
I'm just trying to. No, actually, I thought it was something like that too, but he was actually touched down, so the whistle wasn't blown.
Okay, see, I didn't get to watch. Yeah. You know, I didn't get to see it, so I don't know.
You were too busy moving to the new house. All right, I'm laughing too because Scott. Does anybody know how to delete a comment off of Facebook? Scott Greenbaum just quoted a text that I sent him. I pulled to Jason.
He did.
There you have it. Teddy fucked shit up again. I'm done with him. I did text that. I was this is why you don't tweet or text while
you're
watching the game and you say shit.
Did you not
want
to listen to me? I told you.
Yeah,
you can't.
It was like
you can't do that.
Third or fourth overthrow, or he took a stupid sack or something. I was done. That was done.
That's it. It's over.
Yeah.
Tell that guy I love him on the SEC network.
Yeah. All right, now Wheels. Now it's 24-0. So Wheels is giving us Monday Night Football updates. That's what's happening. All right. All right. Quick, I'm going to change pace here. All right, defense. Let's go to that. They held the Bears to 17 yards on the ground. Okay.
Can I finish? Okay, I'm finished.
136 total yards if you don't count those two
garbage
drives. I'm not counting those. Okay, because this is our podcast and this is what we do. 136. That's not even two trips down the field.
And the thing with the Bears, they were coming off a bye. They had 2 weeks rest. They had 2 weeks to prepare for this, and still we dominated. Still.
I forgot about that. You're right.
You know,
hey, Chad, the board's watching.
What's up, Chad? 2 weeks.
Murray was awesome.
Dude.
Oh, we talking defense? Because I was talking about Chauncey Gardner a little bit earlier. I didn't realize we weren't talking defense.
Oh.
Okay. So, the thing about it is this defensive line, first of all, has to be the best defensive line. And this is back, again, before I was born, but when the Dome Patrol defensive line, amazing. I didn't see him, but I heard a lot about it. But those guys were amazing. And I know it was mostly linebacker generated.
Yeah,
but this defensive line is, without question, the deepest defensive line the New Orleans Saints have ever had. I would argue that this is the best defensive line in the entire NFL right now.
I would agree, and I would almost think the deepest that any team in the NFL has ever had. I mean, this is deep. It's deep. I mean, name an NFL team who had this many high-caliber players on their roster playing in the front three or four.
That's why they're able to play so good, you know, For as long as Sean Payton has been a coach here, even when the defense was quote unquote good, we had to get pressure through the blitz. Now the fact that like we can rush four guys and get pressure consistently, that is the real game changer of this defense right now, because that D line is so fucking good. Even losing, you know, we lost Davidson and we lost the other end of Kansas City. But having Davenport step up, Cam Jordan, two more sacks. Cam Jordan has 7 now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Our defensive line started getting better after a certain event occurred in a certain off season. Do you remember back when maybe a coaching change happened, I think? Do you know who I might be talking about? That guy?
No.
I can't seem recall. A guy. There's a lot of legends about that guy.
Are you talking about Bill Brasky?
Yeah.
I know Bill Brasky.
Then let me buy you a round.
And now look what he's doing to LSU.
I hate Bill Brasky, but I respect him.
The guy ruins. I mean, we might have actually had a good defensive line when he was here. We just didn't know it because he ruined it. So yeah,
the guy ruins defense. He goes to the perennial defensive team, college team in the country, and now all of a sudden LSU's defense, it's suspect.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
What's that? And we have Shy Tuttle. When you have a guy like that, you can't help but have a dominant defensive line.
When he's domination.
Yeah.
I mean, domination on all across the board. All right. So then Wheels did say, and you're right, Wheels. Let's see. Was it Wheels that said it? Yes. No, Chris Sansbury said it. The refs are still killing us. How about that topic?
I mean, they're not killing just us. The refs are bad throughout the entire league, which is just insane to me that as big as the league is and as big as an uproar it is, they're just like, whatever. Yeah, we're going to call pass interference. No, we won't. Like 2 weeks in, they're like, no, we're not calling it. Like, we're just not doing it.
I do want to talk about yesterday's game. Not one, but 2 touchdowns taken away by poor officiating. Now, that's 3 on the year, and I think you could even argue a 4th one. I had that written down somewhere. But, 21 points taken away from this team. 14 in yesterday's game.
The holding on the punt return, to me, may have been the most ridiculous holding call. Tell me when you – okay, that's worded the wrong way. You always hear, keep your hands on the inside of the framework. These guys – where they both had each other, because keep in mind, when you're transitioning from the punt to punt return, you're actually blocking. And then you go to like, well, now I'm trying to tackle. But they both kind of grabbed each other and stood there. And you might argue that, okay, they obviously had each other locked up, but the hands were inside. And that is supposed to be a textbook block.
What textbook? It's Jermon Bushrod tweeted it today. One of the best offensive linemen we've ever seen. Textbook blocking right there. I don't see it. I mean – it's like they do it on purpose. I don't know.
Just to piss you off.
That's right.
Yep. Just you, Jeff. That was all.
But
for you.
Didn't those who listen on the podcast didn't see the face. The I like that.
I'm through gritted teeth.
You have to make a
seriously.
He looked like a grizzly Chicago Bear.
I do look like a Bears fan. I got it. Getting shiny. I need my makeup. So, not only that though. What else did the refs do? They. I mean, it's mainly those.
Well, they apparently, I didn't get to see the game, but there was a holding where we were on defense. I forget what play it was. They picked up a flag where they initially called holding on the Bears offensive line against us, and they just picked up the flag and said, no, that wasn't holding.
Penalty for offensive holding. Like, really?
And Greenbaum did just type in the live stream that holding flag on the punt return was not thrown until Harris got into the end zone.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
We'll have to fact check that.
Yes,
it might be fake news.
I know sometimes it takes time. You got to fumble for it. I got to get it. You know.
But I mean, I can tell you, Zach Streep and Deuce said it was a terrible call. That's all I can say. They said it was.
There you go.
Aaron
done deal. No need to talk about it anymore.
Right. They're completely
all penalties that result in a first down need to be confirmed by the office. Tom Ensign, Jeff's nowhere near as pissed off as the Bears fans were yesterday when I watched them walk out of the stadium before the end of the 3rd quarter. And that is true. That is true. And maybe that's why
the defense, like literally, I was this close. I had it typed out on Twitter to say this has to be the most frustrating end of the game that I've ever been associated with.
Actually, that's in our next segment. I did save that one
through the third quarter, I was like, as a Saints fan, you're enjoying the game, you're enjoying the victory. At first, I was stressed. It was like frustrating. You were like, and then finally you bust it open and you're thinking to yourself, now it's time to sit back, drink a beer, relax, enjoy the game. But then it gets to the point where you're like, can this game just be over?
No.
Like, can you just call it?
Thank you. Dude. And you're doing the right. Jason's doing the Chip and Dale walk down the street, you know, as he's climbing
right.
boxes.
Right. I'm here back in the house. Like, I got the radio on. I'm not even paying attention anymore. Like, we fucking got this. And then, like, oh, Michael Thomas botched a onside kick. And then Eli Apple goes down. I'm like, fuck, that just.
You know, the Eli Apple thing, I am scared of that. I mean,
No. From all the early indications, it seems like it was just a hyperextension and not – because, look, if he tore his ACL, like, he would know. Like, they would have known right away that it's a torn ACL.
Right.
Most of these teams have the machines in their locker room. So they – I want to say MRI. Anyway, they have
one of these magnetic resonance imaging machines called.
He's fancy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
I pulled that out of my ass.
There was a tweet from Apple's mom. So, you know, and she's like his business manager or something.
Yeah, she's
so
awesome.
I think we got away with one right there because
I
tell
hope
you
so.
What,
that's the problem. It's like, God, can I rely on the guy's mom to say, oh, yeah, his knee's fine.
Yeah.
His knee's fine.
Eli Apple's mom is my favorite Saints mom ever. Like she's the team mom. She's the team mom. You know,
she's
bringing Capri Suns and Sunny
D. For another few years.
Yes, I know. Like, just keep him. Like Fred McAfee's still with the team. Can we just keep Eli Apple with the team forever as well?
Yeah.
Just to have her.
Yeah, pay him a shit ton of money. I just want. Yeah, keep his mom around.
Yeah, but we need to get her on the show one day.
Nice.
Let's bring some sun.
I heard she let you have it, though. You better be careful.
I know. We got to have a few more guests to kind of get our experience up, you know. All right. That's all I got for game recap.
No, hold on,
have anything
hold on.
There's more.
One more thing that he had brought up a little earlier was talking about Latavius Murray, you know.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I heard of him.
You know, like outside of Peyton's coaching job, I mean, Latavius Murray really should get the game ball this week. And we've talked about it the last couple of weeks. It's like, you know, look, obviously, it kind of sucks not having Ingram. We all loved Ingram. The way that unfolded was just kind of weird. But, you know, in the offseason, I'm like, you know, I think Murray's going to be fine. But they never really gave him a lot of carries. I mean, even last week, his best week, he only got 11 touches. And we're like, he does stuff with the ball. We're just not getting him the ball. Now, obviously, with Kamara out, we were kind of forced to. So
yeah,
I don't expect
they ran for what 109.
Yeah, over 100 yards, yeah. Two touchdowns, and I don't expect this every week. But look, the guy can produce. Like, you know, he can be a factor in this offense
even more than he's proven he has the ability. But to me, the biggest thing about him is, in my mind, you want to keep the wear and tear down off of Kamara. You have to have that second back that you can utilize regularly. Now, I get it. If you just have no one and they're just, I don't want to say incompetent, but just not capable of helping the offense, then you really have to. He's proven that he can do it. So now you'd like to see Kamara's touches, at least in the running game, going down so that he doesn't take the pounding, because look what's happened. And I said it going into, there's no one game. Kamara could get 30 carries on any one game and be fine. So it's not about he can't have 30, 35 carries. But if you do that, 4, 5, 6 games in a row, eventually any back will break down.
Yeah.
Kamara is not built like a power back. Now, he's a powerful guy, so don't take that away from him. But you want him going
his
into the playoffs healthy
burst.
And fresh.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and maybe that's part of sitting him out, you know, and then maybe does he sit out next week too? I don't know. But
Yes. I think 100%.
Now, I'm gonna rewind just a second because Chris Farmer had a good comment. There's a little delay with the live stream. But he did say that talking about Eli Apple's mom makes a good Campbell's chunky soup. And I think it's time that Campbell signed Eli Apple's mom, just like Donovan McNabb's mom, and maybe to resurrect those commercials. I think we need to somehow start like a hashtag or something. Get this woman a contract, all right? So, okay, that's all for the game. Y'all good?
Well, no. Like, I will, especially considering, more. Like, Jesus. In terms of the Kamara, I'm just thinking of the Kamara usage, you know? Like, with Murray, Murray's a great runner. Definitely use him, but considering our lack of receiving options, like, I'd much rather Kamara get only maybe like, you know, 6 or 7 rushes. Now, I know it's hard. You don't want it to be where if Murray's in, he's running. If Kamara's in, he's
because he'll get like 5 or 6 passes,
you know,
too.
You want to mix it up, but like, I'm okay with Kamara getting less carries, if he needs more carries from Murray, because again, it helps It helps the wear and tear. Like, you want the tandem. Like, that's what worked so well the last 2 years. Tandem of Ingram and Kamara worked extremely well.
At this point in the season, with as many wins as you have racked up, that may be part of it. But, the other thing is, it's not about that as much as it's just about matchups in the game. I mean, at the end of the day, it's who you're playing against and what you need to do against that team. I think part of the Kamara sitting probably had a lot to do with they looked at the Bears and they felt like Latavius Murray would be a good matchup. The offensive line is playing at a high level that, you know what, it's not worth putting Kamara at further injury risk. Let's let him rest because we don't need him to play.
Well, I would also say because he was injured, but go on.
Well, he was injured against Jacksonville, but he played.
Well,
boom.
Well, he was only a little nicked. Like, well, now that makes it weird. Like, he was, like, dinged up before. Like, he's really injured now.
Well,
you know who our team doctors are, man. You know who these assholes are.
Now, here's the thing. Let me read this. He went in with an ankle, and then he left the game with an ankle and a knee. So, you know.
Okay, so he was hurt. Now he's really hurt. Got it. Chris Sandsberg, I like this third guy on here. He's talking about you, Dave. I dig what he has to say. Sorry, but he's better than Damon. We know that. That's why he's here. No.
Jason, you son of a bitch, you bald-headed
right.
Jackass.
Hey, yo.
Damn it. Trying to fit in, baby. Trying to fit in.
That's all right. That's all right.
That's right. The only thing he's not doing is washing dishes. All right. So.
or wearing a torn-ass pajama pants on our ride to Kansas City.
Ooh. Yeah, that was nasty.
Ooh.
All right, I'm going to move us along at this point. And Dave, we are going to – so since Chris, that's a good way to segue into the next segment, which Dave, since this is your first time on the show, we do want to run you, as we do all of our first-time guests, except for Scott. It took him 3 times to get to it. But we're going to run you through the gauntlet, which we call the gauntlet, which is where we ask you a bunch of questions and you have to answer them.
You have a certain amount of time.
Well, considering we actually just took 40 minutes to do a game recap that we usually do in 10, yeah.
Y'all didn't tell me not to talk.
The problem is you're another podcast guy, so you got 3 guys who talk extensively is what's happening. All right. So it's the extended editor's cuts, folks. All right, so the first question is, all right, so you are the host, right? You are the host of the BS and Beer Saints podcast. Listening to your show, I would say, and we talked a little bit about this before we started the live stream, but I would say the chemistry between you suggests that you all are friends, that you've known each other for a while, or you're just all good podcasters. So can you give us a little bit of the origin story of the BS and Beer podcast?
All right. So I own a sports bar. I started watching these guys. I always put it out and, you know, try to get as many Saints fans to come watch the game. Met those guys there. Tomas is actually has his own radio show, Monday through Friday for 3 hours. It's a political show. So Heath is just, I consider him a very knowledgeable fan. And so I do my own radio show in Lexington. And, but it's UK stuff. And, you know, I'm a Saints guy. So when we got the opportunity, we started off, we wanted to do something so we could do some Saints. So that's how it all started. And we watched games together. And I don't know, friends, we, not like you guys that grew up together. We just became friends by watching the game together.
All right, but you clearly kind of bounce off each other. You have a good little bit of a chemistry.
Yeah, now just because of Saints fan stuff, we all have like a little group text message. We're all buddies now, so
yeah,
really good friends.
That's cool. All right, so are you and you post on your show? You're affiliated with 97.7. That's a radio show in
The real one.
Or a radio station, not show.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
The real one. All right, and then. How did you yourself develop such a good, like, quick wit sense of humor? I mean, like I said, listening to your show and even on our show and through your Twitter account, you're always, I mean, the sense of humor is appropriate more so maybe than some of ours. And it's quick and it's on point. You know, what's up with that?
I don't know. Is that a question or are you trying to get me to come on the show again? I mean, yes, all that stuff.
You don't need to come on. You know, I mean...
No, I don't take myself very seriously. I like to believe I know my football. I played, coached. I've been around football, absorbed a lot of it, but I don't take myself very seriously. So at the end of the day, most of the self-deprecating humor and you know, and Tomas is a big pompous ass, so he likes to pick on me, and so I kind of embrace that
role. So he's the Damon of your show?
No, he just – Tomas is the smartest man in the room, in whichever room he walks into. I think it's that whole political thing, honestly.
Well, I won't ask what side of the aisle he sits on because that sounds like I know.
No, he don't go to church or anything.
Okay. All right, so let's get into your Saints stuff. Now, this is about you, not the podcast. All right, how did you yourself become a Saints fan?
Born and raised in Louisiana, since I can remember. I came into it somewhere in the I remember when, was it, Lansford kicked that field goal and we didn't go to the playoffs for the first time. That's when, I mean, this is back before I was born in the 80s.
He remembers it.
I might be, I think I'm older than you guys. Ooh. In spirit. Ooh. And so my All point right. Is that.
Only in spirit.
It had to be, it was in the Bum Phillips era. So the point is that I've been a Saints fan.
You've been studying it up, right. Okay. And then, so who's your favorite player from yesteryear? So this is pre-Sean Payton.
Probably Dalton Hilliard, Ricky Jackson, those guys.
But so at least one of the members of the Dome Patrol.
Oh, yeah.
That counts.
All right. How do you yourself, you live in Kentucky now. So you moved there.
Yes, live in Lexington, Kentucky.
And I got it. Okay. How do you prepare for game day then up there? Do you, and do your Kentucky neighbors or friends, aside from, I guess, Tomas and them, do they understand it?
No. That's why I think we formed such a good friendship pretty quickly. I own a bar. I know a million people. But if you come and talk football with me or if you come and talk Saints football, then we instantly become like kindred spirits. And that's how we got together, is just then it got to the point before we started doing the podcast. He does his radio show and I did mine, and we'd sit on the patio and just talk Saints. And I'm like, man, we have to do something, because all those things you said about me, I'm funny, I'm good looking, I mean, I'm smart.
I don't remember saying good looking.
No, maybe I just threw that on top there. Okay, my bad.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. You could tell, and I say that, like, listening to your show, number one, you could tell, like, I see your microphone on the live stream. You've invested in good sound quality. You have good editing. You put on a good production. Yeah, Jason, I see your
there
microphone.
There you go, sweet talking.
Right? I mean, yeah, it's a good quality show. I mean, for Saints fans, obviously, when you're finished with the Dome Patrol podcast, it's only an hour, or in this case, an hour and a half probably, out of your week. So you're looking for another show, and we know our friends over in the UK, we have the UK Saints podcast and the BS and Beer podcast. I think the three of these podcasts can fill your week great. I think it fills my week great. So I'd just like to recommend to all of our listeners, if you don't have these guys in your repertoire, you should add them. All right, your next question is, what jerseys do you own?
So I'm not a big jersey guy. I just never been my thing to wear a man's name on my back. But I do have Drew Brees's. I have my own jersey with my own name on it. But I think I have I know I'm fancy. And let's see. Dang it. I just sold my house and relocated and everything. And I had this room with all these jerseys up, and I could have just told you. But most of them are older. I think I have a Deuce jersey. Nice. I don't have any of the more modern jerseys.
Yeah.
So I think I actually
have you like Aaron to say. Jersey. Oh, Jason, do you have an Aaron Brooks jersey?
No, never.
Wow. So then that
never.
Then the later.
As much as Damon would have you believe. Yeah, sorry. Damon can be a liar.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing is, and we'll get to that. That whole thing is more. Built up of the story, and it's more the
right the story / non story.
Right.
You want to say that?
Right. Well, I love that. That's, you have this right. Thing. I love this thing. It's the best prop in the Dome Patrol podcast.
.com. You know what? I got this from a sugar mill down in Thibodeau.
Yeah. All right. So
wooden fucking finger.
Sweet. All right, Dave. How did you find the Dome Patrol podcast?
Man. Okay. So origin story, right? You guys inspired me to start doing a podcast.
Oh, because
I just literally on my iPhone, I'm like, what is this one app that's purple that I cannot delete? And I'm like looking at it, and I couldn't understand how it worked or whatever. And someone kind of explained it. Then I started typing stuff in and Saints. And look, we talked about this before the show started. I mean, there were people who would start a podcast, last about 6 weeks, and then get tired of doing it and realize it's kind of it seems
it takes work.
Cool, but it's work, and it's you know, there's a lot of effort that goes into it, and quit doing it and then I found you guys, and I found it to be interesting and funny, and started listening to it, and then it became like a weekly thing. And I'm literally, you guys inspired me to do my show, and you've been a regular, whatever, on my podcast list from the day one.
All right, sweet. So what's your favorite thing about the – so we've given you enough accolades. Now give us some accolades.
All right, no, okay. So mine is
– tell us how awesome we are.
What is the shitty game of the week?
Yeah.
That one, I swear so many times I'm like, I either got to find a knockoff of that or just flat out get some – what do you call it? Get you guys to write something.
You, so you, we'll give you permission if you want to add that to your pick-ems. We'll give you permission.
Yeah, take it.
Well, no, but it has to be titled, it's the Dome Patrol Podcast's
Shitty Game of the Week.
All right, deal.
Right? Yeah. We'll sponsor it for one penny.
Right. I will send you a penny because it tastes like a penny.
Oh, God.
All right. Jesus. All right. So, all right. Let me see. Where are we? Any questions, requests? No, we'll skip that. Okay. So here's the last question from the gauntlet. Actually, two questions, but this one is, do you think Aaron Brooks, since you own the jersey, deserves to be in the Saints Ring of Honor?
Man. Okay. I think Aaron Brooks took too much abuse. I think he was a good quarterback. I think that, you know, in an era when we weren't very good. What? Why are you looking at me like that?
Is he about to say yes?
I think he's a good quarterback. I think, okay, maybe we didn't have that many good quarterbacks through the years. Archie Manning, Drew Brees, tell me who's after that.
Right, but you know, that doesn't mean that you don't have, like, you don't have
a certain name whose name begins with A and his last name begins with B.
Aaron Brooks.
Drew Brees.
Oh, okay. All right, so
God,
I don't know
it,
if he was a ring of – wasn't he like – didn't we get our first playoff?
We did. But is that enough to get you in the Ring of Honor?
I mean, it says something. I don't know. How big a deal is this Ring of Honor?
It's a pretty big deal. I think it's a bigger deal. So do you think the Ring of Honor or the Saints Hall of Fame, which is the bigger deal?
Man, I don't know. I'm gonna get some people to hate me. I don't know. I don't know if anyone.
Hold on. Have you been? When's the last time you went to a game in the Dome?
2 years ago.
Okay, so you've at least seen the names that are on the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, the banners and stuff. Yeah,
it is a pretty prestigious group. I mean, I don't believe. I mean, look, that's why Bobby Hebert's never getting in the Ring of Honor. You know, right. Solid quarterback. He's not that guy. You know, they're like, the Ring of Honor is, I mean, fuck, everybody's in the fucking Hall of Fame. I mean, there's so many guys in the Hall of Fame. Even our boy Aaron Brooks, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He deserves
good perspective. Good perspective. Okay, so my answer is, since y'all shame me, I will say no. Anything else y'all want me to say?
That is correct. Thank you.
That is the correct answer, Sam.
Whew, we saved another one. I feel like a Morpheus, you know? Pulled another one out of the Matrix, everybody.
Thank God you took that red pill, man.
All right, this is going to be quick because we got a little shit ton of tweets and less time to get to them. So I'm going to run through them. So these will.
In the Bandit song.
We got a whole lot of tweets.
We got a long line of tweets and a short time to read them.
Oh, that might be the new song. All right, let's get into looking in tweets.
He's pounding down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Let's start with this one. This one came from Cajun Saint. Dave, do you know him? Because he did say, ask Dave, BS and Fear Media, why they never talk about my raging Cajuns. Just joking.
Oh, he sent me a tweet about that.
Right?
Yeah, that's my boy right there.
I love both podcasts, and we'll see Eli Apple after the break. All right. Next one comes from Go Getta. Says, Tariq Cohen is the second player in the NFL history, since 1950 anyway, to have 9 or more catches for fewer than 20 yards. Adrian Merle had 9 for 12 in a game in 1995. Cohen had 9 for 19 today. Small performance. And this is a response to, you know,
right. From a short guy.
Short joke. Cohen came out. At first, he handled it gracefully. And then later in the day, I guess his ego got the better of him and he started talking shit. And so everybody was like, yes, you should be talking shit on a play that you lost 2 yards on. And also, your production of the day was one of the worst in NFL history. But go ahead and talk shit.
Chauncey Gardner was, I thought he was trying to give him some dap. And I'm like, that's a weird way to hold your hand. I swear, I thought he was trying to give him
he's like, no,
you average person would, that would be the height when you do it on an average height.
He's like, nope, you're too short to ride this ride. You're it was right. Funny, though, like, we were like, and that's part of the crazy thing about this. We were so confident. We were fucking ripping a dude for being short. Then after the game, they're fucking getting back on Twitter being mad because we called him short. I'm like,
yep.
That's when you know the season is
yeah.
You know.
All right, Mordecai, despite beating one of the best defenses in the league without most of our offensive weapons, do you think the Saints should still trade for a wide receiver like Emmanuel Sanders? Or has Peyton proven he doesn't need to do that?
I say they need another receiver. The Rams traded for Ramsey, and I think the Saints need to offset that. Not that I necessarily think the Rams are going to be our biggest foe, but I already felt like the Saints need another playmaker on offense, wide receiver.
With Seattle and San Francisco playing the way they are, it's very possible the Rams don't even make the playoffs.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But what went through my mind is I thought they needed that. Then when I saw that trade, I'm like, man. And I guess in my mind, I still think of the Rams as that competition.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're right. They may not even make the playoffs.
I also think of it as, and you brought about it earlier, there's so many guys that we're going to have to pay over the next year or two. Like at some point, this nucleus, some pieces are going to have to break away just because we can't pay everybody. So while we have this, I think we need to fucking go for broke. Like it's Super Bowl or bust. Super Bowl or bust. You know, like
Chris
yes,
Farmer
you're going to have
yes,
an eye to the standard. Future, and we're going to pay certain guys. But at this point, you know, like we after what fucking happened last year, and the fact that that's another Super Bowl we should have won, we need the fucking Super Bowl now, whatever it takes.
All right, Big Easy guys, John. I think the Cards are the perfect team for Drew to go out, get back into the groove, get confidence. I think he's asked confidence. So that you got the bye 1 week on, 1 week off, come back rested, confident, rather than come back cold to a trap game against the Falcons. I don't think there's ever going to be a trap game against the Falcons, but what do you think about Breeze starting next week?
I don't think so. I think I already heard things that he's going to be a backup, so he'll be practicing this week.
Think
that we're in a position to let him – I would rather see him rest these 2 weeks in the bye week than test it now. I think it's too early. Just it's amazing that he's coming back this early.
Yeah, and I know he wants to play. You know, I mean, that's true. He definitely wants to play. But, again, at the end of the day, even if we lose this game, not that we will, but they are, what, 3-3-1? Like, they're sneaky 500 now, which is kind of weird. You know, they got Patrick Peterson back. They're not terrible, but
terrible.
At the end of the day, like, look, we were praying for 3-3 when everything happened. And we're sitting here at 5-0. If
right.
worse comes to worse, and God forbid we lose this week and we're 5-1, it's not the end of the world.
All right.
Set him.
Anonymous Mooser, is there a planned meetup to bike to the dome with Teddy? Not that I know of, okay. Right? Also, is the Damon feud still a thing, or is it just a dramatic storyline y'all concocted for ratings? I don't
yes.
know. Damon's not – he genuinely did decide that he's not going to do the podcast anymore. And if you want to hear Damon, I know he joined – not joined, but he has been guesting on the UK Saints podcast every now and then.
He did it once.
But look, he was great on that podcast. He was great on that show. We wish him well. Go do the UK Saints podcast. All right.
Back out.
King Aaron UK. King, Coach of the Year, Sean Payton. That's why we do the Guest of the Week. I mean, we got to have a third, you know. All right. Coach of the Year, Sean Payton, Assistant Coach of the Year, Dennis Allen, Comeback Player of the Year, Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to argue Peyton not being coach of the year. Yeah. It's tag team, motherfucker.
Steve Austin over here.
Right?
So what do you think? Do you think we actually have a legitimate shot of getting like all three of those accolades?
I mean, I think Sean Payton is the coach of the year right now. You can't argue with what he has done with what has happened. The second Breeze went down, everybody was like, oh, yeah, they're done. You're done. You're done. You're done. You're done.
Is it more important to you to win, like, the NFL
Super Bowl.
Honor?
Super Bowl. I don't care about all this
We already won the Super Bowl. Is it more important to you to win it from like the NFL's perspective or to win it from like the ESPN awards, the ESPY awards?
I don't give a fuck about all that shit. It's stupid.
Because in the offseason, we're going to need to talk about it.
It's like ESPN released, oh, here's our power rankings. It's not college football. Nobody cares about rankings. Right. At the end of the day, you win, you beat the team, and you move on.
All right. Okay. So
rankings are stupid.
All right. Turner knows best. This one is – all right. So he tweeted us last week, and I totally butchered his name, so he spelled it out phonetically for me. Too early to worry about seeding, playoff seeding. I only see two real threats left on San Fran and Green Bay's schedules, and one of those is each other. Will we have to go 15-1 in order to have the conference championship in the Dome? Willing to accept San Francisco and Green Bay are both frauds. Don't worry about that as an answer.
I'm not ready to suggest. I don't think the 49. I got to see it before I must think the 49ers are going to maintain. Because one thing that's lost in all this, how hard it is to maintain success. So let's see after all the excitement, adrenaline wears off come week 10, if they can maintain this all the way through the season. I can't see that from the 49ers yet. I don't have that confidence. Green Bay, I don't think they're as good as the media makes them out to be, but they are pretty good.
Right. Do you feel like they don't have the quality wins, Green Bay?
Nobody. Nobody has the quality wins that the Saints have. The Saints have the best batch of wins of any team. And without the starting quarterback. That's the thing when Breeze comes back. It's crazy. Now, look, I do think Green Bay is good. You know, everybody sucks up Aaron Rodgers. He did have a crazy game this past week, but that's
crazy.
Yeah, knowing the Saints' luck, like, you know, teams are going to get advantages with scheduling, and I think 13-3 at a minimum is going to take. I mean, I think 13-3 would get us at least the 2 seed, but
yeah,
you know, as long as we get a bye, you know.
All right. And he did say, thanks for reading my question last time, by the way. It's the French pronunciation, G la belle, le trois. Just G works, though. So I don't know, though. I'm sorry, but I am saying it every time you tweet, G la belle, le trois. I'm saying it every time. You can't not say it, right?
Nah.
All right. Jay Caro, is Von Bell the most underrated player in the NFL?
NFL? Too much.
I agree.
But he's having a crazy season so far. Four forced fumbles. Remember my bold prediction sure to go wrong was Lattimore getting 10 interceptions? I should have said Von Bell getting 7 fumble recoveries.
Yeah, yeah.
All the dude does is find the ball. It's insane.
All right, next tweet comes from – all right, your vanity name on Twitter is s.149r.29s.
He sounds like he's a stormtrooper.
N16. So what do you expect from the front office – or what do you expect the front office attitude to be moving closer to a trade deadline? Also, is it appropriate to point out – and all right, so that part we already talked about, so you don't have to rehash that. All right, but his real question is it appropriate to point and laugh at Falcons fans, or should you just laugh under your breath, asking for a friend?
I think it's always appropriate to laugh loudly and point at Falcons fans.
Yep.
Jason, I love it.
I mean, anything. Falcons fans deserve any kind of scorn they get for everything. The fact that their team blows. They've never recovered from 28-3. Still, never.
And to illustrate that point, Neil did also tweet, can you please take a moment, pause, and laugh at the Falcons? All right. That was awesome. All right, Wheels, Khalil Mack's been thoroughly dominated. More love for the O-line is needed. Keep going. Nollins, Jay Caro, saying we need Cam Newton to get healthy. Get back. Oh, that was last week. Get back on the field. All right, so we're good. We're caught up on tweets. All right, Jason, get us into Pick'ems while I go make a drink.
It's all about the king, you fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control.
I was looking at all the games. There was not a lot to pick from. I mean, there's one good game, but you've got a couple of injuries going on now. Patrick Mahomes got hurt last week. So, of course, you know, Green Bay gets to play Kansas City without fucking Patrick Mahomes. Just because, you know, Green Bay is going to go 14-2 and get the 1 seed, that's going to be a reason.
Let me jump into the larger league, and I know I tweeted that out. Scott Greenbaum did lose the lead to Mordecai, who's now in first place, followed by Desi Greenbaum, and then Greenbaum. He's in third place. Actually, he's in like a 4-way tie for second. Desi, Greenbaum, Sans Hobbs, Tom Ensign, and then Jason, So you're in third place, but you're like fifth on the list.
But somehow I got the 500. It's
you
crazy.
Did. You did. Christian Mino, Davis Douglas, Triple D Kennels, Pastor Knott, Chris McGuire, Jake, one of my sons, Trevor Scott Bruno, King Nola, Wheels, me, Big Easy Mafia, UK, Drew, my other son.
Come on, ass.
James UK, Oh Who Dat Be, The Mailman, CJG, DJZ, Me So Mad, Ryan Angier, Who Dat Fits, last year's winner, is third from the bottom, followed by Big Easy Gaijon, and back where he belongs, Neil.
Oh, Neil.
You know what I love, that this evolution of, like, it's just shit on Neil? Like, we love you, Neil. You're still our boy. But
he is our number one original fan.
Yeah, he was the first tweeter that we've ever had, Dave, and he has been tweeting to us ever since all this time. We named his child.
Are you serious?
Not really. But
is
he
Dawn Patrol?
He asked. It was supposed. What did we name it? Mickey Crescent
Mickey.
City Connection.
Yeah.
He didn't like the Crescent City Connection part, but he didn't name her Mickey.
So we're paused now. Can people hear us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind.
They can hear us on the live stream, but I can edit it out if you want.
Oh, no. I'll talk to you later.
Is that bad? Okay.
All right. Two live crew, baby. All right. So here we go.
Beat it up real quick. You mentioned the Green Bay Kansas City game. Wheels did say on the live stream, State Farm's got to be pissed. They've been hyping up Mahomes and Rodgers all year.
You know who else is pissed? Other NFC team fans. They're pissed.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Jason. All right. Your board, Phil.
All right, week 8. A couple of good games, a couple of shitty games. Not a true shitty game, but this is not a good week for pick-ups. But we'll start off with the Los Angeles Chargers, who find yet another way to have a heartbreaking loss. I feel like this is their franchise. I feel bad if you're still a fan of this team. You actually had a following in San Diego. You had your ups and downs, but Phillip Rivers has been really good. You've had some crazy, crazy losses. Then they move your team to L.A., and nobody fucking cares. You move to a 30,000-seat stadium, and there are 20 to 25,000 fans of the other team who you are playing. You know, this has to suck for those players. So, and they found they went to Tennessee this week. They couldn't get a yard. They couldn't get a yard at the end of the game. Their coach stinks. Their ownership stinks. Everything stinks. You just feel bad. Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback. They've had such a bad situation.
But is he?
They travel to Chicago to play a Bears team.
Who's
coming
off
a thrashing against the Saints, who does not have a quarterback at all. Mitch Trubisky sucks. He sucks.
Dude, I would
and now
– Yeah.
And now you have the fans turning on them. So the second they start doing something bad on offense, that crowd is going to turn on him.
The Bears crowd is unforgiving. Yeah, right.
And yet the Bears are favored by 4.5.
What? They're giving 4.5 to the Chargers? I'll take the Chargers. I'll tell you why also I'm taking. Well, no, you go with your pick first. And
who's
then
you?
I'll tell you why. Jason, Dave.
I'm gonna go with the Bears because we just beat the Bears and they got to be better.
Okay,
and they've got to be amazing.
Nice that you think they could do that.
Well, look, in its defense, the Chargers are not the Saints. I mean, we're on a total another level. Hmm? But I'm still gonna take the Chargers.
Well, I'll tell you why I took the Chargers, because if you've noticed in Sean Payton's, especially in recent history, if not, I couldn't even tell you how far back the last time it hasn't happened. But after we beat a team like this, they go on this downward spiral of losing and losing. And, like, we beat teams, and that losingness stays with them for, like, 3 weeks. Look at Dallas this year. I mean, look at Atlanta every year. Look at the Rams this year even. I mean, well, after we played them, they then went on a losing streak. I mean, I don't know if it's because we put the blueprint out there or if we just demoralize them to where they can't recover, but I just don't see Chicago recovering this week against the Chargers. A good quarterback.
All right. Our second game. I'm only picking this game because it's a London game, because I have to pick every London game this year because
of the UK Saints podcast.
That UK. But, you know, it's a London game. But, yeah. Again, it's crazy. We've talked about it before. London, as much as they love the NFL, they get so many shitty games. You get forced with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Los Angeles Rams. The Bengals lost to the Jaguars at home. The Bengals are one of the bottom three or four teams in the league. They thought they struck gold with, oh, we have a Sean McVay disciple. maybe you might want to slow down a little bit. So they get the Rams, who everybody's like, oh, well, maybe the Rams are good again. They've won two in a row. Well, they just whooped Atlanta. Well, we know how bad Atlanta is. You know, the Rams did trade for Jalen Ramsey, so now they have that. They're clearly going all in. But if it doesn't work for them this year, they are going to be fucked. But for this season, maybe they'll sneak in a wild card. They're favored by 12.5.
Well, I thought this was going to be an easy pick. 12.5?
I mean, I took it because it's London, you know. Oh, this week isn't great.
Why 12.5, though? Why couldn't it be like 3? All right.
Who'd have thought that losing Marvin Lewis would be the downward spiral to an already bad team?
It ruined their regular season is what it did.
I mean, at least he got you to the playoffs. At least he did that. Right.
So what are you thinking here? Is this one of those games where no matter what, you have to take the points?
I was going to go the other way. I mean, I just think Cincinnati sucks. I'm taking the Rams.
Wow.
The Rams are feeling high and mighty. They're on their high horse right now, but at some point, you know, they might win this week, and they'll be, you know, like, oh yeah, we're back into it. At some point, they're going to get knocked back down because they're not that good. Jared Goff stinks.
That's a lot of points. I think I don't know. It's hard to pick Cincinnati, but with the overseas thing, I'm gonna take Cincinnati.
I cannot let go of these points. I'm taking Cincinnati.
All right, our next game is a game we had kind of alluded to. Would have been one of the better games of the year, you know, in certain situations happened. The Green Bay Packers coming off a shellacking of the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers throws 5 touchdowns, runs for another. It seems like they finally figured it out, and now all the media is going to go back to blowing Aaron Rodgers as the greatest thing that ever happened to quarterbacks, even though he's only got 1 Super Bowl. They travel to Kansas City.
Hey, 1 Super Bowl is enough to be the greatest of all time.
Well, I mean, we're about to get a second one, so it's okay.
Up until this year.
Right. Well, we should have had one last year. We should have had one 11. That's a whole other story.
And the year before, 18, don't forget. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So they travel to Kansas City, play the Chiefs, who are coming off a win on Thursday night. But clearly, you know, they lost Patrick Mahomes, the front runner for NFL MVP. He's going to be... It's a dislocated kneecap. They said he's only going to miss 3 or 4 weeks. But, of course, he's missing a week that goes against an NFC competitor because, of course, you know. So Matt Moore came in. They still
the way Roger Goodell has scripted it.
You know, everything aligns to fuck the Saints. Goodell, injuries, refs. Everything aligns to fuck us.
All three phases.
Everything aligns. Roger Goodell was like, here, Saints, take it.
All right. So what's the spread?
Kansas City is getting 4.5 at
home. Oh, how many? 4.5?
4.5. They're getting 4.5 at home. How crazy is that?
You know what? No Mahomes. They were losing with Mahomes. So I'm taking Green Bay.
Yeah, I think I'm taking Green Bay too. And I think that Kansas City's defense is weak. And if you don't have Mahomes making these incredible plays and basically running the other team out of the gym, I think that they're not really that good a team. So I'll take Green Bay also. But also very angry. I'd like a note that I'm very angry about the schedule makers, a conspiracy against the Saints yet again.
You know what?
Right, like they couldn't schedule this game last week, you know?
No, they scheduled it this week. They scheduled us
after Chicago's bye week. Guys, you're insane. Yeah, it's not the scheduling.
It's a conspiracy.
You're ridiculous. It's not the scheduling. It's the NFL telling them to sit Mahomes out for the injury. It's the injury. It's not the schedule. It's the injury that's the thing.
Well, I have no doubt that Roger Goodell personally they couldn't called predict the Chiefs him to and said, sit him. It's a freaking dislocated knee. How bad can it be?
Right? I mean, right? Come on. Drew Brees was about
right
to play.
Back in last night. They popped it right back in.
They popped it in the field. Put some tape, rub some dirt on it. You're good to go.
Right? Put some Robitussin on it. It'd be fine.
All right. Jason, who are you taking?
All right. I am taking Kansas City. I believe their fans, I have been to that stadium.
Mark Ingram didn't fuck shit up, we beat them. Okay.
No. If Ingram doesn't fuck
shit up, we beat them.
No, if the defensive lineman didn't suplex the guy.
Oh, that's
remember?
Yeah, but yeah. Ingram, no. Didn't Ingram fumbled on like the 5-yard line in that game too?
Yeah, he probably did. Like it was all good up until that game. But you know what? We're moving past that. This isn't 2016. This is a new regime.
That's right.
Andy Reid is gonna figure out something. Their defense is gonna, even if it's just for one game. Like I think the Chiefs win this game and then lose the next game.
He gets the 500 and suddenly he knows everything.
Yeah, I do. I'm sorry. Kansas City is getting points at home against, yes, even without Mahomes. I mean, I don't know.
I know. You're probably going
to
win.
That's a lot of talking not to know.
You're right. This is definitely me saying Green Bay needs to lose this week for the Saints. That's all.
Yeah, it's an emotional pick.
It is.
I mean, I want Green Bay to lose too. Yeah.
So here's our real, after that, here's our game of the week. Carolina Panthers, somehow sitting there at 4-2.
I'm taking the other team.
Well, that other team is the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. Ooh. Another hated team in Saints history.
Don't care.
They're undefeated.
Don't care. And they're not in our division.
Well, and yet, you know, they're undefeated. Great. They haven't played. They're like the Patriots. They haven't played anybody. They haven't played Seattle yet. They did beat the Rams, which, whatever. I mean,
when the Rams were in kind of a funk.
A tailspin. Right. After they had played us. You know, we send teams in a tailspin. So this is the game of the week. Kyle Allen is still playing. Cam Newton is going to practice, but they said Kyle Allen is still the starter this week. So it's a question of, are you looking at playoff seeding or are you looking at winning the division in terms of your heart right now?
Okay.
This game is in San Francisco. 49ers favored by 5.5.
Where's the game?
San Francisco. Levi Stadium. I feel like I'm not a believer in either of these teams right now.
You know, but San Francisco's undefeated. They're at home. I'm taking San Francisco. Carolina, I have to believe, and I admittedly don't know who Carolina has beaten, but I have to imagine that it's not great teams, and so I don't think they have the quality wins.
I mean, they did beat Houston. That's probably their best.
I'm sorry, but after last week and I picked Houston, they burned me. So fuck them. I don't think they're a quality team at all. They were in week one, but other than that, no.
Well, they win the tailspin.
See what happens?
You see? Tailspin.
Hey, wasn't that a Disney cartoon?
Yeah, it came on after Rescue Rangers.
you gotta pop that in. I have the theme song.
It was Baloo from the Jungle Book. He was the
guy. It was. Fucking Tailspin.
The other bear thing that would surf behind the plane. Yeah.
I have that song. That's great.
I mean, that could have been totally made up with you guys, a conversation you two just had, and I wouldn't know the difference. It was funny. It's funny. That's quality podcasting.
Oh, I could right go there. Into like some episode arcs from Tailspin.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
The one right, where they. So, yeah. It was all the characters from the Jungle Book, but they were. You know, cargo.
It was pilot. They were modernized for the late 80s, early 90s.
And it was, Baloo was a cargo plane pilot who would fly cargo from island to island,
right,
in the jungle.
I am regrettably going to go with Carolina,
right?
Just because I think San Francisco is a fraud.
Wow.
I'm going 49ers just because I can't pick the scams and Donkey Boy. And, I mean, I like the team more that he's not there. Did you see the video with him smoking a cigar explaining his problems?
I've seen plenty of videos of him in crazy costumes. It's insane what he wears.
No, there's literally a video where he explains, actually, after he gets past the point where he's sitting there like some, you know, with the silk jacket on and smoking a cigar. He actually gets real and explains his, you know, what happened and how the all
mental issues.
And oh, wow. So it made me want to pick him less.
So what happens is I lost to the Saints and my life went to a tailspin.
Tailspin. See what you did there.
All right. And now our crappy game of.
Ah, that one's for my you, Jake and Drew. All right. It's the BS and Beer Presents.
The Dope Patrol Podcast, Crabby Game of the Week.
Here we go. No. Piece of shit car. I got a piece of shit car. talking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big...
After last week's the 2 weeks ago coup de grace, Miami and Washington, I didn't really think I'd ever top it. I mean, that was just, you know, that was just so...
Wait, coup de grace, is that when you give favors to one country in return for another thing? I've been hearing a lot about... No?
I think you're thinking of quid pro quo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the one. Never mind. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Please continue.
Quid pro quo. Huh.
You have to make a quid pro quo segment.
That might be a good segment. That really would be a good segment.
It's either quid pro quo or coup de grace.
Cro.
It's one of those either or. It's an either or.
We have to do a Dome Patrol checkpoint.
Oh shit! Okay, I'll take it. I am gonna go with. I'll go with a four. Look at this, my last minute. I'll go with
all
three.
All right.
Yeah, I'm probably a three. This is my third. I go off the number each one. It's vodka after all. All right.
I have to get to our bad game.
That's right.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming off a bye, but their last game they lost in London. Jameis Winston threw five picks. He is clearly not the answer. They're going to be moving on. My biggest worry for Tampa is that they draft Joe Burrow next year and I have to pull against Joe Burrow twice a year, which sucks because everybody in the NFC South drafts all the good LSU players. That's what happens.
Agreed.
They traveled to Tennessee, who is not a terrible team per se, but they have moved on from the other quarterback taken in that draft with Winston. Winston and Mariota went 1-2. Tampa Bay is still letting Winston QB. Tennessee said, no, fuck this. We're going with Ryan Tannehill. So Tannehill is quarterback in Tennessee. This game is in Nashville. Titans are favored by 2.5.
I remember the first time I spoke to you guys or texted with you guys or tweeted or one of those things was about, I made a comment about the Titans being irrelevant.
I vaguely remember
that. And I got lit up by Titans fans. And
wow.
I wished I could find that tweet so I could bring it back up because they were like, well, what happens as soon as Drew Brees is gone? You know, like I could say, we got Teddy Bridgewater. Didn't get a chance. So I'm picking against them, whoever it is.
After the Tennessee Titans, right?
Does that mean I'm picking the Bucks?
You are.
Ooh.
I'm in a quick pro right
Didn't
here.
We come to your defense in that tweet?
Yeah, you did. But yeah. We were going to, like, I just needed some support. Like, yeah. I could have said, y'all stupid, and y'all have been like, yeah.
Right. Don't mess with our boy.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's only 2.5 points that they're giving up, and Jameis Winston is absolutely garbage. So I get the emotional pick, Dave, but no.
No, can't do it.
Can't do it. I got to pick them to win.
You taking Tampa Bay, Dave?
Yes.
All right.
And we're each taking that Tennessee team. All right. And let's see. Aaron King, Box O Wine. He's talking about you, Jason.
Hey, say what you want. Hey, the Box of Wine of today is not the Box of Wine of 1996 when it was frowned upon.
It's a quality.
This just means I can actually drink wine every night and not worry about it going bad and I have to finish a bottle.
Nice. He says you're gonna take that box. All right, so, let's get into a quick Saints preview. And this is where the Saints play against the Cardinals in a matchup.
Quid pro quo preview.
He might be on to something.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
Quid pro preview. All right.
Quid pro preview.
So, all right, we got the Cardinals next, which is the game before the bye week, which is also the game that some of your crazier Saints fans feel like Drew Brees is going to actually play in. Some of your less crazy Saints fans say he's going to dress out, play as a backup. And some of your other Saints fans are saying that he's going to be on the sideline with that awesome hoodie that he wore this Sunday that I want of. But anyway, I just don't see him playing with a brace that he has to wear. You have a brace on. You're not playing with that. As long as he's wearing a brace, he's not playing.
People complain about Teddy wearing two gloves. Now Bridget, Breeze is going to be over there with a brace on his hand. I can't see it.
Speaking of gloves, did you notice Deontay Harris on there was one of those plays in the when the one that he got yelled at and got an argument with, his gloves were unstrapped when he went to go field the ball in the end zone. Completely no. unstrapped. I think he was unpreparedunprepared, and I think he got in trouble for it.
I think he thought Greg McMahon was still the special teams coach. He was still in the Greg McMahon mold.
I do not think I'm arguing with the coach if I'm fumbling some balls and I'm a rookie undrafted free agent on the sideline of an NFL game.
Yeah,
that was bad form.
Absolutely.
I'm also I'm making sure I'm prepared. If I'm going out in the field, my gloves are tightened. I'm not, you know, like maybe Michael Thomas could get away with not having his gloves tightened on a play. If I'm Deontay Harris, right, you're an undrafted rookie. You do whatever you can.
How many mistakes has he made this year? I mean, now he's anyway. All right, that's
You know what? Yeah. You can get away with a fumble if you offset it by returning one for a touchdown. Yeah.
Which he did. All right, yeah. You're right. Now, didn't you guys bring up on your show last week, Dave, about Deontay Harris, something about he was waving for the fair catch before the ball left the punter's foot?
Yeah, well, we're exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, it's like at some point, I think he's just going through rookie growing pains. The guy's obviously a huge talent, but there has been, if he's not returning balls for touchdowns or having these good returns, he has made a crap load of rookie mistakes that are just laughable, you know?
He's just made up for him with good play, which is like Jason's risk reward. He's more willing to accept risk. I'm getting to that point. At some point, the risk isn't worth it. You can find a guy who can get you a couple of good yards. He might not get you as many touchdowns, but at some point, ball security matters more.
Well, returns are such game changers too. Now, because I didn't get to see
it changed the game for Chicago big time this week.
Well, they did have a good returner. Now, on their return that Harris had, they got called back. They said at the end it looked like he injured his hamstring. I didn't get to see the video, but did it look like it was an injury where like he's
Deontay? No, he came back and played after that.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, this is breaking news right here. I think we just broke some. You said you're not a news breaking guy.
We don't break news.
But we broke some news right there. Deontay Harris may have pulled a hamstring.
He did not.
Okay.
All right, now let's talk about the Cardinals game. Shit.
No, that's what they said on the radio. He ran it back, but he's hurt his hamstring.
Was it on 97.7? I mean, they'll say anything.
Wait, whoa, easy there. Wait, hold up.
Hold on a second. Come on.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer news desk.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying.
So this breaking news brought to you by the S&P. Patrick Peterson returned to the Cardinals lineup last week against the Giants and shut down his side of the field. Are you concerned about that?
No, you know why? Because what does Michael Thomas do? He gets open. And they know we're throwing to Michael Thomas.
Is Patrick Peterson the best defender that Michael Thomas is going to go up against?
He's up there. He's one of the best in the league.
Is he anymore? I mean, just ask.
I mean, he did. He came back, shut down his side of the field. He only let up one catch. You know, if Lattimore only lets up one catch, Saints fans don't shut up about it. So Peterson did that. But granted, it was one of three targets. It was only three targets at him.
Well, but there's also the spectrum.
And he got a sack on a blitz.
But you're also there's also a spectrum of well, I don't want to throw it to that guy. I'll throw it to number two. Like I'll throw it to Ken Crawley, not Marshawn Lattimore.
This is like old Saints defense logic is this guy's really good. Well, no, it just means the other corner is just much worse than you.
That bad.
But when you improve that corner, then all of a sudden you realize that the other corner sucks just as bad. but not anymore.
All right, Ramchek's next assignment is this Chandler fella, Chandler Jones.
I'm not worried about Chandler Jones at all.
Are you not?
No.
All right, because he is second in the league in sacks with eight and a half sacks.
Again, who was first? Khalil Mack. Who was third? J.J. Watt. Who was fourth? DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah, I don't care. My worry this week is with the injuries at secondary from last week. That scares me.
Eli
Apple. P-Rob got hurt.
I am not worried about P-Rob's injury. I think Gardner-Johnson is better.
Okay, but it's not just his injury. P.J. Williams is still suspended for a game. And then Apple, like, even if Apple's isn't as serious, which we hope it is, which is great, He's out this week.
Right.
So who's
Dave's got a point, I think.
So there's a lot of issues there.
He's literally pointing. He's got a point.
I was so impressed with Jason's ability to list all the pass rushers that Ramchak sat down. I just wanted to say something, but didn't want to interrupt you. That was fine broadcasting right there.
Thank you. Cheers.
Out of four.
That's why I drink wine and not blueberry infused vodka.
Fuck you. That's cran pineapple tonight, buddy.
But at the beginning of the season, you're like, okay, the Cardinals, they're gonna have they got a nice young rookie. They got a couple of decent receivers. They got David Johnson. But they're not a good team. They got a young coach. He was never proven. Now, David Johnson, he was quote-unquote active this week, but the other guy got two touchdowns this week. So I'm not worried about that. But Kyler Murray's getting a little confidence. And with our secondary is kind of depleted this week. That's a little worrisome this week. Like, who's going to be – so even if – let's say – God, did I say something stupid? I probably did.
Aaron King just typed – wine with quotes around it.
Hey,
from a box. I love it. This is gonna be a thing, you know that. This is like 6 weeks worth of material.
That's what I've been drinking out of every week.
No, we didn't see it though until now.
You think?
Carry on.
Hateful, man.
Carry on.
You know, box wine gets a bad rap.
It does. I agree.
You can use it to pack.
Well, you know what? You know what? You can make. Right.
Hey, I just moved into my fucking house. What do you expect, man? Come on.
You can make fun of me with my cranberry drinks, but you got box wine. That's right. What? We're losing some street cred, Jason, is what's happening. Don't be sure about it. You guys are a bunch of pansies. Drinking fruity drinks.
I'm going to leave. Look, that's it. Take it. That's my video. I'm just going to talk. This is all you see. I'm just going to talk.
I like it. It's better than a box wine.
Yeah, I'm going to talk.
As he pretentiously swings his glass of wine in his finger.
Look at it. Look That's at that strange. Wine. Look at that wine. All right. Cardinals have earned the respect somehow of talking heads. Okay.
I mean, they are 3-3-1.
But let me point something out. The 3-3, have you looked at it? The wins are against what? Cincinnati.
Not good.
Atlanta.
Not good.
And the Giants.
Ooh.
They tied. Hold on. I'm not done. They tied the Lions, right?
The Fighting Gary.
Week one. And their losses came to Baltimore, Carolina, and Seattle. That's not a threatening team. Why are they respected?
I'm not saying they're respected. I'm just our secondary is very depleted. It's just that if that's the
but
one.
Kyler Murray can't throw. He's not a throwing quarterback.
As he's Scott, a rookie. You don't know that.
Scott called me before we did the show, and he gave me some talking points, and he wanted me to point this out because he knew he would be in bed by now. Kyler Murray is a shit. He's a you've watched South Park to see. He's an incredibly shitty passer. He's not just a shitty passer. He's an incredibly shitty passer. He's a runner, and he said if you look at what the Saints defense did in Jacksonville against Gardner Minshew, why we got frustrated they didn't get the sacks was they weren't trying to sack. They were trying to contain because he can run. He can escape. So they were trying to contain him and make him throw. So expect that to happen this week against Arizona because Kyler Murray can't throw. I mean, the dude's got 4 interceptions, 7 touchdowns on the year. He's got a 64, and I'm being generous, QB rating. He's not a good actual quarterback. He's a runner who can throw. A Taysom Hill, if you may. And so he...
No, he's better than Taysom.
Well, that's for Scott's benefit, but for when he listens.
Everything's...
But the point being is that... I'm not worried about this is the game that you want your secondary. If you have to have your secondary depleted, this is the game for it to be. And welcome to Hal joining the show, my cousin. And Chris Ansbury is laughing.
Is that Howie?
No, not Howie. Hal.
Oh, damn. Oh.
What's up, Hal?
Where's Howie?
We might have to get him on the show. He's funny.
Okay.
All right, go on.
Yeah, look, it's not that I'm worried about the Cardinals. It's just, you know, there's not as much of a pushover as I think initially we're like, dude, the Cardinals might go 2-14. Like, they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league just because Cliff Kingsbury was not successful in college. Why would he be successful in the pros? But I do put this on, like, we have a huge advantage in the coaching disparity in this game, and I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the difference in the game. And I'm slurring a little more than I thought I would.
No, but insightful information. That's all that matters.
All right, and then my last
from
point
a box is from a box.
If you're worried about their offense anymore, the other thing about this is Larry Fitzgerald, the old man on the block, has not had more than 70 yards receiving in a game since week two.
Okay, that's fine, but with only Lattimore, like, who's our second cornerback this week?
Ken Crowley.
And did y'all see that tweet? I don't know who it was. Somebody in the Twitter sphere tweeted something about how Dennis Allen is doing such a good job with this defense that he could make Ken Crowley look good.
We might be about to find
out.
Here we go. I mean, we are literally missing, other than Lattimore, we're missing pretty much everybody.
That also goes back
to the bullshit. The fact that we had to have Apple on the field because the NFL has, your active roster is, or your roster is 53, but you can only dress out, 44, 46, whatever it is. It's still fucking mind-boggling to me in this day and age of so many injuries. If you have a 53-man roster, then everybody should be able to come into the game. Because let's say that happens, maybe Apple and Lattimore aren't on the field at the end. It puts your starters in a position to get injured when they don't need to even be on the field, period, in a blowout like this. That's another shitty thing about the fucking NFL.
The whole thing is for competitive balance.
That's what they said from the get-go. Competitive balance. But you know what? Like, if you drafted a team that's good enough to have 53 dudes that are better than anybody else, we need to reap that fucking benefit. Like, there's so many injuries. Like, anybody can go down. The fact that Patrick Mahomes just went down and just tanked Kansas City season for about 4 weeks. I think this is an antiquated rule.
Drew Brees went down. It didn't tank our season. I mean, I'm sorry that they don't have the depth to recover. I mean, that's just we're just a better team.
Because nobody has a coach like Sean Payton.
Okay, well, then that matters.
Well, it does, but it's not talent-related. It's coach-related.
Okay, well, still. I mean, it's a complete team. The Saints are a complete organization.
We are. We drafted very well. Just think if we had an extra couple of
We have a good front office. We have a good coaching staff. We have great players. We're a great team. We are a solid foundation.
I thought you just sweet talked me like that, but you sweet talked the Saints too.
I love them Saints.
I love the Saints. All right, y'all got anything else on the preview before we end up to final thoughts and end this thing? We are an hour and 40 minutes on an hour long show. All right, so with that then, I guess we will say that is all the show we have for you this week. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dope Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, if you want to listen to us in old-fashioned way like Dave does, you can go to DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Slide L donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.